The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Pushing keys as fast as my fingers can push them. Sometimes they actually do what I ask them to, which is really amazing. Harry Cooper is with us tonight. Admiral Cooper has just returned, and I mean not too many days ago now, from another astounding trip into history by way this time of Argentina, especially southern Argentina, and the San Juan de Bariloche area, and most specifically, Lake, I'm going to try this, Nahuapi? Did I get it?
Pretty close. Nahuelwapi.
Well, all right. Not well wapi. I'll remember that.
That's even closer.
I see.
Hey, they got their own monster similar to Nessie. It's called
Nahuelito. Come on. Now, all right, first of all, before I even get an answer from you, which I hope to get, most large bodies of water, fresh water, inland, around the world, I mean big ones, most of them, the majority of them, that's like 51 out of 100, but the majority of them have...
Is that how they bring their majority? Okay.
They have legends, stories of large animals living in the lake. I mean big. Animals. So you're not kidding about this?
I've never seen this thing, but asked my host why I never got to see it. This was a guy named Nahuel Coca, who used to be my guide. He said that Nahuelita never comes up when foreigners are around, only for locals.
Oh, well, wait a minute. Maybe he was just joking.
I think he was joking, yeah.
But it wouldn't surprise me at all if there really weren't legends of a large creature or creatures, there has to be more than one, living in freshwater lakes. Whatever killed off the dinosaurs would not necessarily have killed off the aquatic large reptiles who could have lived underwater. And many people think that's exactly what we have. So good. All right, well...
I never got to see Nahuelito, though.
Well, you've been there. You've heard it, and you got to check with somebody and see if this is really a legendary issue. I'd like to know, because it's a perfect lake for it. Look at that lake.
Yeah, it's a huge lake, 70 or 80 kilometers long. Beautiful fresh water, deep areas. Pretty nice.
But it's perfect. Perfect venue for a Nessie-type animal. That'd be great.
Sea monster,
all right.
Yep.
No, not a monster, just a large animal, reptile, an aquatic reptile. Fun stuff. No problem, none at all. They're not going to come up on the shore and eat campers, although they might eat some of the people that we've run into or heard about or seen evidence of lately. There's a lot of people around the world, I don't care who they are, where they are, they like to vandalize things.
They like
to break in to buildings, structures, property, and do damage. What's the deal? I don't get that. It's a very bizarre thing.
I don't understand it, and makes no sense to me. People like that ought to get locked up.
Well, but, on a good day.
Yeah. I'm, as you and I talked earlier, I'm all for the caretaker having a shotgun. Because, as I said, you have to aim a rifle or a pistol, but a shotgun is addressed to whom it may concern.
Correct. And if you can't hit the barn with a shotgun, you might as well just go away.
Yeah, right. Pack it up.
Okay, hold on. I got to write one note here.
Okay, go write a note. And I got to decide if I want another cup of tea or if I would prefer chocolate milk. Tough decisions we have to face nowadays.
Get the tea. You don't need the mucus. Not good.
Well, thank you. I like chocolate milk, though.
Go have the chocolate milk. What the hell do I care? Have the Entenmann's with it. Do you still have any Entenmann's around the house?
No, I splurged. Last night, I had a very large chunk of tiramisu. And today I had two big slices of French silk pie.
Did you see tiramisu?
Yeah.
It got cut off part way through the middle. And,
well,
and
tiramisu.
French, tiramisu and French
silk. French silk pie.
Now, you see, if nothing else, we all have to tip our hats to Harry Cooper for being able to resolutely stay on his diabetes diet. He will not stray from it.
That's it, boy. That's tough.
Inspirational. You're amazing. I don't know how you do it. Seriously, I don't know how you eat that stuff. It tastes great. I understand.
It's very good.
I used to, when I was in college, we used to get Entenmann's. I did. I used to buy these big boxes of Entenmann's. Entenmann's. I think they were like coffee cake kind of a thing.
Oh, yeah, with the raspberry and the drizzles of icing on the top.
Well, drizzles, that's a new word for me, but I don't know what it was, but I remember cinnamon, crumbles.
Maybe
it was kind of like cinnamon coffee cake, something like that. Might have had apple in it, I don't remember. But my God, it was good. We used to put it in the oven.
Yeah. Entenmann makes great stuff. Of course, Charlie Entenmann, the guy who owned it, has been a member of Shark Hunters for, over 20 years, but he no longer owns the company. He sold it some years ago, but he's still a member of Shark Hunters. Nice guy.
If you're listening, Charlie, I want to thank you. And this goes back to my college days. Wonderful stuff. Just wonderful.
Yep. I haven't seen him for a while, but whenever I get around his neighborhood, and I'm not going to say where because somebody will come knocking on his door, but whenever I'm in his neighborhood, stop by and we have lunch together. Nice man, very nice man, very humble. He's ultra, ultra, mega wealthy, but you wouldn't know it.
Well, that's the kind we used to have in this country.
Yeah.
Not so many anymore. They're all on the take, on the hustle. Now, for everyone listening, and I hope all of you are regulars, and I hope we have some non-regular new listeners as well. Harry goes on tours. They're patrols. But in reality, they're research expeditions is what they are, looking to unearth and rediscover that which has been taken from us and hidden from us, i.e., World War II, history, during and after the war. The after the war aspect of it has to do with Harry's trip to Argentina, which just wrapped up. When did you get home? Tuesday?
Right, Tuesday. I was supposed to be home Monday, except Delta had airplanes that didn't work. I was a day late getting down there because they had a plane that crapped out on them and a day late coming home.
Better that it craps out at the airport rather than over the Atlantic.
Well, that's true. Coming down, we left Atlanta and we were flying for a couple of hours. We were over Orlando airspace and the overhead mic came on and we were, this is the flight deck. We've got a problem. Click. What problem? What kind of problem? Tell us.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me that seriously from the cockpit, a co-pilot or pilot came on and said that and clicked off?
That is exactly what happened.
Well, what the hell does that mean? We've got a problem.
Yeah, my thoughts too. Okay, we got a problem. What is it?
Well, what happened?
Well, I don't know. They said it was a minor part in their nav system had failed, and they had to go back to Atlanta. And I'm thinking, well, if your nav system failed, how are you going to find your way back in the dark? But they said there was a part there, no problem. We'd be on the ground maybe 20 minutes and be on our way. We landed, and we sat, and we sat, and we sat. And then they came on, turned on all the little TV sets on the seat in front of you, and said, we're going to be here for at least an hour while they change that part so you can watch TV. Well, an hour or so goes by, and then they come on again and said, well, it ain't going to work, so we're going to get you another airplane. Everybody gets off. We get off, and they say, well, sorry, we don't have another airplane.
We have a bus, though. Mm-hmm.
Well, then they said they'd give us all hotel rooms. But by then it's almost 2 o'clock in the morning, and the flight out, the replacement flight was going to be at 9. So by the time you get to the hotel, you got time for a shower, lay down, get up, get dressed, and come back. So I wound up sleeping on the marble floor at the terminal, and I'm still, you know, nursing that broken back from a couple years ago. There were 70 or 80 people sleeping in chairs and on the floor. So
why did you select the floor, Harry? Why didn't you try for a chair? You can't do it.
I would rather stretch out. You can't stretch out on the seats there because they've got armrests in between each seat, so you can't lay out.
I got it. That's so, probably why they put the armrests there.
I wouldn't be surprised. So then we finally got good. Then they gave us a gate that was at the other end of the world. I'm not even sure it's even in Atlanta. Walked all the way out there because you're not going to get a wheelchair at that hour. And sitting there, and oh, wait, no, back to the first gate. So.
Come on.
no joke. And then coming home, I was in the Delta Sky Lounge, and the wheelchair pusher I had comes back and he says, don't shoot the messenger, but your flight's been canceled. That's coming home. But at least that now it's 8 o'clock at night. So we had time to catch the bus, go to a very nice hotel, El Presidente. But then all of us Delta survivors got dinner, a set menu, started out with empanadas, which are great. I love empanadas. The first one was ham and cheese stuffed. The second one, I think it was stuffed with ground gopher. Yuck. And then the next course was spinach ravioli. Who the hell would eat? Nobody was eating the spinach ravioli. However, the...
Sounds better than ground gopher.
Yeah, I don't know. Neither one seemed very good. But then
I have a question. Yeah. I don't understand why Delta doesn't have buses there for situations like to bus you to a hotel. Why would you be left to your own devices to have to find
your way to a hotel? Well, they didn't get buses for us. It wasn't their buses, though. They had to search around. First, they had to call around hotels to see how many rooms they had to put how many people in them. Then they had to call the buses to get to the you know, they leased the buses, and from what I understand, they went to the wrong gate. So we finally got to the hotel, though, had time
See,
for a shower.
Now you know why I don't fly. That's just one aspect of it. Jeez.
Well, the personnel, though, the Delta people were absolutely wonderful, and, you know, they couldn't do enough for us. So, I'll still keep flying Delta because even though I get the cheapest doggone ticket I can find because I've got an American Express Platinum card, I get to go to the Delta Lounge, the Sky Lounge, where you sit in big overstuffed chairs. And it's too bad I quit drinking years ago because the booze is all free. And they have a nice buffet. And you just tell the lady at the front desk what time you want them to roust you to catch a plane. They treat you really nice. Some of the bigger ones even have showers. Very nice. So I fly Delta.
All right. Well, they got you back here. That's
they got good. Us back here one day late, but they got us back. And the flights were smooth. Very nice. So
all right.
Aside from coming back a day late and a dollar short, but the trip itself was really, really fantastic. I love Argentina. It's a beautiful country. And the food, oh boy, awesome.
You gain weight on these trips?
No. I lost about 4 or 5 pounds, and my blood sugar went way down, even though I ate a lot of pastries and sweets and stuff. We were walking, geez, and we walked every bit of 5 miles a day at least, a lot of it up and down pretty steep grades.
All right, well, we've got a great story to tell you, fully illustrated, and I want to just take a moment to thank my webmaster, Roberto Miguel. He knocked himself out, and I gave him a video and picked out 13 images, frames, portions of that video, a frame at a second. And I asked him to pull that frame, make an image out of it, size it, and put it into the sequence of pictures we're going to take you through tonight. And he did all 13 of them in, I don't know how he did it, but they're all in there. And they really add a lot. They're images that Harry wasn't able to get, but we've got them. And not that he wasn't there, but he's busy taking care of his tour. And he, there have been some, I don't want to dwell on this too much, but there have been some discoveries made there that are extraordinary. I'm going to leave it right there. I'm going to also tell you that the next time Harry goes down there next year, all of you who have been on patrols before, tours, you really want to go on the next one down there because of what is coming to light. And we're not going to say any more than that.
Right.
Okay? All right.
Yep. You know what it is because you've seen the pictures of it, and the guys who were on my tour with me know what it is, but I've asked them not to send out photos or talk about it.
This is your discovery, and you'll be back next year.
Yeah, we don't want to put it out there because every clown who thinks he's going to be an expert goes around there and they just mess things up. They break things, they steal things, and your history goes out with it.
That's disgusting. What we're talking about for you newcomers down there is the estate, we'll call it, 1,700 acres. That was home to Adolf
Hitler. I think
it's
more than 1,700. Sorry for cutting over you. It's 480 hectares, whatever the hell that is. But
I'll find out.
It
might be 2,700. We'll find out. Somebody can let me know. 480 hectares.
Yep.
Wait a minute. I'll just do it right now. 480 hectares is how many acres. I can spell hectares, but I can't spell acres. Let's see.
Okay.
I got it. No, I'm kidding. I don't type well anymore. 480 hectares is, I said 1,700 acres.
Okay.
It's 1,186 acres.
Oh, okay. That's still pretty doggone big.
Oh, it's huge. Forget it. It's wonderful. All right, now, what we're talking about, though, let me finish my little thing here for our newcomers. This is the estate that Grand Admiral Dönitz announced that they had found a Shangri-La for the Führer that was impregnable and untouchable, and he was talking about this particular estate, which was home to, and it's in Harry's books, Hitler in Argentina, Hitler in the Secret Alliance, and
Hitler's Spy Web.
Okay, those are the three books.
In South now, America, yep.
Hitler and Eva Braun, his wife, lived on this estate, we'll call it an estate, which Harry visited, and you will be able to visit next year, if you go, for 10 years. Arguably longer in that one residence than Hitler may have lived in any one residence. Hell, for the rest of his life. I don't know how long he lived in one home when he was a kid. But this, as an adult, 10 years in one home from 1945 to 1955. That's where Harry went, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So please click on the link below Harry's name. Pull up the picture gallery page. We've got a whole bunch of pictures this time, and plenty of time to waltz through them. We have a break coming up in just a minute or so I'm going to hold off on that. You were down there for only a week, 8 days, was it, aside from the Delta lost day?
Yeah, the debacle. About 8 days, 8 or 9 days.
And it was...
It was immersion.
Constant. I don't know how you do it. I really don't.
Get up in the morning and put one foot in front of the other.
And don't forget the tiramisu and the French silk for your gas.
Well, I had that here. Down there, we had some other stuff. Oh, man, let me tell you, Jeff, some of that food down there, we went to one particular restaurant in Buenos Aires in the Puerto Madero. Madero area, which is the upscale. It's on a big broad canal, and with all the yachts out there. And you walk in the door, man, you sit down, people swarm all over your table, bringing your bread, bringing everything. And you, if you got a plate that's somewhat dirty, bang, it goes away, and another one, they bring everything to your table except salt and pepper. You have to ask for that, because down there it's against the law for them to put, we found this out, to put salt and pepper on the table because it's not healthy for you. Jesus, the snowflakes are coming down there too.
It's not healthy.
Yeah.
No.
But then somebody comes by with a big tray with all the different cuts of meat on there, and you pick which ones you want. Mm-hmm. Melt in your mouth. And the dessert was caramelized pineapple with a side of rum raisin ice cream and coconut sprinkles on it.
See? A diabetic's dream. Hold on a minute, and we'll be right back as we're going to dive into our pictures. Next up with Harry Cooper. You good people, wherever you are, we have people all around the world listening, and welcome. This is going to be fun. I am still, right now, I'm actually trying to add two more pictures, Admiral.
Oh, boy.
I'm working on it. Hold on. I'm working on it. So you get your banjo out there and play a few tunes while I get this here.
By the way, your listeners can send an email to us at sharkhunters@earthlink.net, and we'll send them a free electronic issue of our magazine, which you've been getting for, what, 6 years now, 7 years?
I don't know how you, honestly, I don't know how you do it. It's wonderful. It's extraordinary.
I know how I do it. I was up this morning and in my office at midnight. I did take a break from from 2 until 4, wasted that time by sleeping, and I've been going ever since.
That's pretty funny. It's,
yeah,
it's
you should
truth.
Be on this end of it. It wasn't quite that funny.
Where is that photo of the empty front room? Did you just send me that, or did I send that to you? The photo of the empty front room, the big picture.
I sent you several. I don't know what you sent me, but I sent you several of those.
Yeah. There's one, and I'm not seeing it. Okay. Put this. I'm just going to add the one then. I'll add it later. Put this after 19J. Okay. There was that one picture I sent you, the view out the window of Lake Nahuwupi.
That's close. Nahuwupi.
All right, I'll just stop at lake, and you can finish it next time.
The lake. Beautiful lake. Beautiful, beautiful lake.
Well, the view out that window is stunning. And
you
that
betcha.
I wanted people to see that, so I may ask you to reload your gallery of photos in a little bit, but I wanted people to see that because that's the view out the window, the picture window, one of the picture windows on this beautiful Bavarian-style mansion.
Photo 18 gives you pretty much that same look, but I'm not seeing up to 18 just
18?
Yet.
Oh, yeah, 18 is very similar.
It's in between 17 and 19. You'll track it down that way.
Let me write that down. 17 and 19.
It's between, there you go.
I got it. All right.
Yeah,
no, that is the same
look.
View. But it's, no, we won't talk about how you sound. This is a picture of, 18 is what I have, but it's framed from inside the house, so you get the idea even more. It looks like a living picture window is what it is.
A
all right.
Tableau,
everyone got your pictures
that.
Up. What is it?
It's called a tableau.
Oh, big words all of a sudden.
I read that somewhere, yeah.
You actually pronounced it right, too.
I had to pay extra for that word, yeah.
All right, that's a $3 word and a 50-cent mm-hmm. program. Okay, starting out with picture number one. Just to show you, even though Cooper says he has never been arrested, we have visual proof to the contrary. Although I'm not sure who's arresting whom there. That's picture number one. Those are two cops, and the one in the middle is not a cop.
Nope, I'm not a cop. I'm too old to be a cop.
Too nice to.
They have so many female cops there in Buenos Aires. I don't know what the deal is. Maybe the guys don't want to be cops. Maybe they're going out of their way to have, equal whatevers. Because they got female cops all over the place.
Now, you made up for tableau with that one. Equal whatevers. That's
yeah,
good.
Equal whatevers.
Now, you said equal whatevers.
Yeah, equal. The one in the blue on the right of the photo, she looks like she's not sure she wants to be there.
Correct. I wouldn't volunteer to get a parking ticket from her.
No, I think she's kind of tough. The other one's kind of soft and cute. The one in the pink.
Yeah.
I don't know why one's dressed in pink and one's in blue. Maybe it's a different uniform. Who knows?
Well, in this gender-confused world of ours, Harry, you never know.
Never know. I know. It's easy to find out what your gender is. Look inside your shorts.
Oh, that too. Although, I would think that might be some argument about that these days, too. Everything's on the table. Picture number two. What are we looking
at? This is the beautiful Plaza Hotel, which is where Martin Bormann lived for 2 years after the war with two beautiful girls. And I confirmed, some years ago, no, 2008, when I was here the first time, talked to the front desk manager, Senora Rodriguez, and she confirmed that, he lived there in room 760, the presidential suite.
Uh-huh.
She thought everybody knew that.
That's funny. You know, a lot of people down there in, especially in the Bariloche area, they all know. It's no secret.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody knows.
Yeah. And
what are you talking about?
As well.
Yeah.
They knew the place was loaded with guys from the Third Reich. Bormann was there, Mengele was there, Eichmann was there, and just tons of them.
We're talking about ultimately maybe 20, 30,000 ultimately. We don't know. Mm-hmm. Lots of Germans made it down there. Lots.
Yeah, most of the leadership did. Hitler, Bormann, and then Mengele. Eichmann was not a big shot, like, you know, they like to say that he was, quote, the author of the final solution. He was not the author of nothing. He was a lieutenant colonel who was charged with moving people around, and that's it. He didn't come up with any solution, final or otherwise.
Well, they sure made a big play in the media, didn't they, over that?
Well, at the media.
What they do.
Oh, yes.
What they do.
M-I-C... K-E-Y, your media for you.
Yeah. And you see why I quit television news. I saw where it was going. I walked away. All right, number three,
we have always said that in Argentina, traffic signs, speed limits, stoplights, those are all merely suggestions.
Oh, sometimes I just got my magnifying glass out. I see it now.
Well, I've got a large... monitor here, so
it must be rich.
Mm-hmm. It cost me about $200. If you're not paying attention there in Buenos Aires, you wind up kissing the ass end of a bus, and that car's totaled. Thank God it looked like nobody was hurt because we went by there, and there were people all standing around by the car inside the police tape. So obviously those were the people involved, and nobody was hurt. No ambulance
airbags
was there.
Airbags and seat belts. Thank God.
Yeah, for sure. Well, hey, you know, as you know, I used to drive Grand National stock cars. And I was passing a slower car once, and he lost his side bite and clipped my nose, and I went into the wall at 140 miles an hour. You walk away from it. You got seat belts. You know, anybody who doesn't wear a seat belt is a damn fool. I think seat belt laws are wrong as hell. The government's got no business telling you what to do. But if you don't wear a seatbelt, you're an idiot.
Correct.
And this car has been turned into razor blades.
Yes, yes. Or tuna cans.
Or
forget
tuna
that.
Cans.
There are no more tuna left in the Pacific.
Okay, if you say so.
That's Fukushima. Okay. Nice. I didn't notice that picture. I said it's a little oddly framed photograph for Harry. And then I got my magnifying glass out. Before I enlarged it, I'm just trying to go through these thumbnails.
Yeah.
Number four, speaking of gender confusion, Harry thought that was another female cop. Look at his face. He just realized it in that moment of the picture. It's not a woman cop. Oops.
No, it's not a woman cop. It's an honor guard for right behind us there. You can see that is a tomb, and that's the tomb of General Belgrano. And it's in the San Telmo area, which is a section. And you go into the church there, and there's honor guards there, and they change them, I think, about every 15 minutes, because these guys just stand there and don't go anywhere. And I think those uniforms are wool. Those are the old traditional uniforms from the historic days. And it was like 75 degrees that day. So, rough on those guys.
You can see the European influence in the uniform design, too.
Oh, for sure. German, Italian primarily make up about 80% of the lineage in Argentina. It's a beautiful country.
It's essentially it's a European country with a Latino overlay is what it is.
Right.
I made a discovery.
Yeah,
go ahead. I discovered something, though. Interesting.
Well done. Buenos Aires is called the Paris of the South. It's a beautiful, beautiful city.
We've seen another picture That hotel has gorgeous architecture. All right. Notice the guard that Harry is standing next to. Now go back to picture number one and look at the cop on the right. It's the same guy.
No, it ain't.
Go look. Tell me they don't look like...
Maybe they were brothers and sisters.
There you go. All right. All right, I'm being silly. Now, picture number five. You're a race car driver, a pro.
Yep.
That's something out of the late 50s? Early 60s?
40s, late 40s, early 50s.
40s. Yeah.
Yep. One of the world's...
It's a sculpture.
One of the world's great Formula One. I drove Grand National Car Stockers. This was Formula One. Five-time world champion Juan Fangio, who was a Puerteño. He lived in Buenos Aires, and he won the world championship five times. And it was said that he would not even have a radio in his regular car because he paid attention to his driving. Well, that sets him apart from stock car racers. You know, you hear the old story that race car drivers are extremely good drivers on the highway and never do anything wrong. Don't believe it. Jesus, don't believe it. Some of the things we used to do, but that's another whole program.
Well, this guy... if he were to lay down, he'd be damn near as long as that car.
Well, those were the old roadsters.
Yeah.
Front engine. Formula One. And he won the world championship five times. And so this is a monument to him. Uh-huh. And some numbnuts spray painted something on it. I don't know. You know, you can't see from the angle I shot, but just... Stupid.
Well, there's that vandalism thing again I mentioned earlier.
People think they're accomplishing something. All they're doing is ruining things, and they ought to... When I was in the Soviet Union, man, you did not see tagging at all. Mm-hmm. I don't know how it is today, but when it was the Soviet Union, maybe it's because they couldn't afford a spray can, I don't know, but nobody tagged nothing.
Yeah. All right. Number six. Now, that's the real reason that Harry goes on these trips. I'm telling you. Look at that. You always come back with the most really eye-watering pictures of food.
You betcha. Ice cream, strawberry, and I think that was a little volcano of chocolate with whipped cream in it. That was at that restaurant I told you about, that great meal with the steak and all the rest of the trimmings and all that went with it, and that dessert and the awesome service. It was expensive, but not so much by American standards. In the U.S., you'd expect to pay $100 or more for that. This was $60 U.S.
Right.
Of course, when you get the bill, it's like 3,600 pesos, and you, oh, God, look at that. Well, no. Okay, no, 3,600. Okay. Yeah, that's about $60.
So when you go down there with, say, $1,000 in spending money as a tourist, you can do pretty well.
Oh, yeah. And they take plastic everywhere. There are ATMs, but, of course, you get your money there in pesos. There are a few ATMs in strategic places where you can choose whether you get pesos or U.S. dollars or euros, but those are few and far between. But regular ATMs that will give you pesos, they're all over the damn place.
Huh.
And when a couple of my guys didn't realize the difference between the dollar sign and the peso sign, and they saw that the machine was going to charge them 600. They thought dollars for a service charge. No, 600 pesos. You look at a dollar sign, the S, if it's got two vertical lines in it, that's U.S. dollars. If it's got one vertical line, that's Argentine pesos.
Huh. Very good. Okay. So now that we've eaten that little treat, that's not dinner. Is that dessert? What is that?
That was dessert, sure. I had had a beautiful ribeye steak.
And you lost 4 or 5 pounds.
I lost 4 or 5 pounds, and my blood sugar came down. The lowest it was 129, which is still higher than it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be 100, but I usually run between 150 and 170. So I consider that an improvement.
Same as your stock car speeds.
Yeah. No, my race car, depending on the track, we were up around 190 on some of the tracks.
Nice.
That was living. Man, that is incredible. That's living.
Well, what a rush. I can't even imagine.
Yep.
Number 8.
What happened to 7?
Is that before 8? Wait a minute. Okay,
and
I got it
now. You went to college,
eh? No,
you
I was just testing
you.
I'm just testing you. I just wanted to see if you were paying attention. Now, this gentleman is obviously in the military.
Yeah, he's a petty officer in the Prefectura, which is the Argentine version of the Coast Guard. And they've got a beautiful old sailing ship there, the Corvette named Uruguay, named for the river, not for the country. And 100 or so years ago, a Norwegian exploration group got stuck on Antarctica when their ship got caught in the ice and crushed. So this ship, the Uruguay, went down and rescued all them people, and it's a memorial on display right out in front of that restaurant. And so we went aboard, and I went up to the guy to pay the tab, and he saw we were Americans. Oh, no, he would not take any money from us because he was in New York and was treated very kindly by the Americans in New York, which surprised me anyhow. But he said, nope, wouldn't take any money from the Americans. And then he and I got to talking. He's Argentine Coast Guard, Prefectura. So I showed him my credentials. I was a flotilla commander with the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary. And, oh, man, he just couldn't do enough. He showed us all around his ship, all the stuff. He's explaining it all to us.
He
very
looks like
nice
he's
day.
Very proud of what he does. That's nice
yeah,
to see.
Yeah, you betcha. So, you know, God bless him. He's a veteran. Well, he's currently serving, not a veteran yet, and he's proud of what he's doing.
Yeah.
You betcha.
Yeah, nice. Very nice.
We met so many nice people. We meet
well,
great
every time
people
you go there,
you,
that's all you say. And the same thing with Europe. You just, you're a magnet for good people. They love shark hunters. No, seriously. They love what you're doing when they find out what you're doing. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they just roll out the red carpet. Okay, and remember, you all can go next year with Harry on this very same sort of trip, but it'll be breaking new ground, new ground. All right, number 8, gangway.
Gangway,
or is
we're
a
getting
gang
on
plank?
Our plane. Not a gangplank, it ain't a jetway either. It's a boarding ladder for our 737, and there's Roger smiling at the camera, and... So this is a 737 run by Aerolíneas Argentina. Excellent flight, not a problem. I mean, it was about a 2-hour flight, I think. And we got complimentary Coca-Cola or Coke products. Okay. I usually fall asleep on airplanes. So we're headed now for hardcore history.
All right. So this is Buenos Aires Airport, right?
But yeah, it's one of the two. They've got two. They've got a huge, big international airport, where we come in from out of the country. But now this one is the Aeroparque, which is right on the waterfront. A good NFL quarterback could throw a football from the airport and hit the Rio de la Plata. Really nice, beautiful architecture all along there.
Mm-hmm. I noticed this plane is more dependable than Delta's. The other side of the coin.
We didn't have any delays. It took off on time. It landed
on
where
time.
It was supposed to, on time.
See, that's always a good thing when a plane lands when it's supposed to, where it's supposed to. Always encouraging.
Coming back from Buenos Aires, same thing. Plane was on time. Nice flight. Landed where it was supposed to, when it was supposed to.
Yeah. That must be one of Kurt Tank's relatives is operating the airline.
Designing the planes, maybe, yeah.
Yeah. All right, number 9.
Number 9.
Funniest thing to see Harry Cooper eating. Or were you taking that man's meal? What were you doing?
No, he's the owner. That's Julian. And
where are we? Are we in Bariloche now?
We are in Bariloche. Uh-huh. I don't remember the whole name of the... I got his card right here in front of me. The La Parrilla di Julian. The double L down there is pronounced S, so it's La Parrilla di Julian. Uh-huh. In other words, the House of Julian or something like that.
All right. And, so that's Julian.
That's Julian. He's been there 20 years. He was a cop in Buenos Aires before. And look at all the wine behind him. It's a very upscale restaurant. And uh-huh. So he didn't speak one word of English. I don't speak any Spanish. But he dragged uh-huh. me back to the kitchen and had me cut that piece of meat from a whole big, huge tenderloin. And then he had me season the thing. Okay, fine. I thought that was the end of the drill. No. That was my steak. So I put it on the flame thing there. They cooked these over a wood fire. And that was my steak when it came back. Another melt-in-your-mouth kind of steak.
You took the words right away from me. I was going to ask, this sounds like some of that legendary Argentinian beef that does almost melt in your mouth.
Oh, it's good. It is yummy. And it's got it's seared with the wood flame.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. It's great.
I don't eat meat, as you know, but I did when I was young and foolish. And
okay.
I know. My grandfather was a world-famous French chef, although I'm not
okay.
French. He married into the family.
Okay.
And I grew up around that kind of thing. I started working in restaurants when I was 11 years old at $1 an hour. And for years, I worked in kitchens. And the dining room held 600 people, to give you an idea how big the operation was.
Wow.
So I'm familiar with that. I understand.
Well, this meal was just as good as the one in Buenos Aires, but there was nowhere near that kind of money. This was about $20. Because you're
so Bariloche is a lot less expensive.
Right. You betcha. And they got several big chocolate places, too, there. The Matryoshka and also...
Yeah.
The hell was the other
thing,
one? I forgot.
Yeah, Harry gets off the plane. Where are the chocolata factories?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that dark chocolate is actually good for you, so I understand
mm-hmm.
that, too. All right. Stand by. Reload your photos during the break, everyone. Just hit refresh on the page. Make sure you have all of them in there. We'll be right back with Harry as we continue this marvelous tour to South America's Argentina and history. Coming up next.